Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Do members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believe that they can become gods? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We're going to be looking at this question, which is found on a paper that is posted on the LDS Newsroom site. It's the official website of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saint. It's a paper that is supposed to clearly explain and articulate what the doctrines are of the Mormon Church. However, in our study, we're finding that it is less than clear on a lot of issues. It only gives a little bit of information, drawing the person reading it to arrive at all sorts of conclusions, really. But I've got to be honest with you, Eric. This is one section where when I read this portion, I thought, this is not honest. This is not honest. And it actually gives a very brief description. It says, Latter-day Saints believe that God wants us to become like Him, but this teaching is often misrepresented by those who caricature the faith. The Latter-day Saint belief is no different than the biblical teaching, which states, now quoting from Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. It goes on to say, through following Christ's teachings, Latter-day Saints believe all people can become partakers of the divine nature, taken from 2 Peter 1:4.
If you just hear that, I think, it depends on where you're coming from. It depends on what your presuppositions are. But if I'm a Christian who is reading this, I don't have a problem with those verses on the surface of them, on the context. I mean, certainly we believe that we are the children of God, heirs of God, and we believe that we can become partakers of the divine nature. But I'm thinking in a Christian sense. I'm thinking of glorification, we call it. And I'm not thinking the way that they really believe in Mormonism, being taught.
When they say the Latter-day Saint belief is no different than the biblical teaching, and then they quote Romans 8, 16 and 17, where in the world do you come up with the Mormon view of deification from Romans 8, 16 and 17?
You have to enter into this with a presupposition that you learned in seminary classes.
Absolutely. Let's look at some of the statements that were made by Mormon leaders regarding the idea that men can become gods. What did Brigham Young say?
Brigham Young said in Journal of Discourses, Volume 3, page 93, "The Lord created you and me for the purpose of becoming gods like Himself. When we have been proved in our present capacity and have been faithful with all things He puts into our possession, we are created, we are born for the express purpose of growing up from the lowest state of manhood to become gods like unto our Father in heaven."
And you notice what quote is not found in this little section. And remember, this one does not have a hyperlink going to another page that would give you more information. One thing that is suspiciously missing in this section, where is the Lorenzo Snow couplet?
As man is.
God once was, as God is, man may be.
And every Latter-day Saint knows that. Every Latter-day Saint can tell you that that is the crux of the idea of godhood in Mormonism.
And according to Lorenzo Snow, he said that Joseph Smith taught that man, by constantly progressing, may eventually develop into a divine being like unto his Father in heaven. In other words, they will change ontologically. The Mormon human right now will eventually be like Heavenly Father is right now. That has always been taught since the time of Joseph Smith. And to downplay that and to make it sound like that's not at all a part of Mormon theology is absolutely misleading. Look at what Spencer Kimball taught. Spencer Kimball, The Miracle of Forgiveness. He said, the other eternal life is a cooperative program to be developed by the Lord and his offspring on earth. It thus becomes the overall responsibility of man to cooperate fully with the eternal God in accomplishing this objective. To this end, God created man to live in mortality and endowed him with the potential to perpetuate the race, to subdue the earth, to perfect himself, and to become as God, omniscient and omnipotent.
Okay, so how is it possible, Bill, that another being could become omnipotent, for instance?
You can't have two omnipotent beings simultaneously. It's self-refuting. You can't have one more powerful and say, no, this one's more powerful. We're both more powerful. You can't have that together. But in Mormonism, because they don't really carefully use words properly, you run into this contradiction.
Here's another quote by Spencer Kimball in the Teachings of Spencer Kimball, page 28. He wrote, man is created in the image of God. He is a God in embryo. That's a phrase we hear a lot from these leaders. He has the seeds of godhood within him, and he can, if he is normal, pick himself up by his bootstraps and literally move himself from where he is to where he knows he should be. This idea that you have it within yourself, it's a very Hinduistic idea, really. The idea that within us is this divinity that we, in essence, can pull ourselves up and attain a state of godhood.
Now, for them to make it appear that their belief is really not all that different than what most people believe within Christian circles is certainly, certainly misleading. There are so many quotations on this subject. Just in my book, In Their Own Words, I have several pages from Mormon leaders and Mormon manuals, Mormon professors and such, that are saying, basically, that man will become God.
Here's another one from Emmanuel. You mentioned Emmanuel. Book of Mormon Student Manual, Religion 121 and 122, published in 1989 in page 58. I encourage you to look these up or to get Bill's book here in their own words to see it for yourself. But this is what it says. Can you see the reasonable basis for belief that you can become a God, capital G, like he is, by progressing here and hereafter? This is clearly taught by the leaders and the manuals, the teachings of this Latter-day Saint Church.
Mark E. Peterson, a Mormon apostle, in the book Faith Works, page 139, said the gospel is a plan for successful living, for progress towards godhood.
Yeah.
You have Jeffrey Holland, Divine Companion, Teaching by the Spirit. This was in the Church News on the 4th of July in 2009, page 15. This is what Mr. Holland said. We are charged with the responsibility of getting people out of their ruts and routines, out of their problems and their pain, out of their little arguments and ignorance and sins, and take them to the gods, plural, to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Ultimately, we are to take them toward their own godhood. Their own godhood. Is what Christian denomination really believes that, like the Mormons do? And so to make it appear that their belief is not all that unique, that's atrocious. I've got to be honest with you. If I was a member of the LDS Church and I read that, knowing what I'm being told in my manuals and by church leaders other places, I would be ashamed. I would be ashamed by this statement. Remember, this statement starts off with the premise saying that the church has the responsibility to teach its doctrines with clarity. This statement is supposed to correct sloppy journalists who don't get it right. How would a journalist know what these leaders have said by that statement? This is troubling. This is really troubling. And yet we see this happen a lot.
But what do you want them to do, Bill? I mean, for them to explain to
journalists. I want them to be honest.
Yes?
I want them to be honest. You know, I would expect that from my church leaders.
But if you're going to be honest on this, I mean, let's just face it. If a journalist gets a hold of some of the things that we're talking about right now, he would be incredulous. He'd say, really? Because I think even most journalists understand the basic concept of what Christianity is. And I think most of them, when they get to the nitty-gritty of what this is, would say, no, this is not the same.
Well, I'm going to go back to a favorite quote. I love this quote by Robert J. Matthews. Robert J. Matthews is a Brigham Young University professor. In the Ensign magazine back in October of 1994, on page 54, there was an article that he wrote called Thou Shalt Not Bear False Witness. And whoever wrote this paper You need to go read that article. This is what Robert J. Matthews says. Even sharing the truth can have the effect of lying when we tell only half-truths that do not give the full picture. We can also be guilty of bearing false witness and lying if we say nothing, particularly if we allow another to reach a wrong conclusion while we hold back information that would have led to a more accurate perception. In this case, it is as though an actual lie were uttered.
Wow.
I don't know how else to classify this paper on an official Mormon website as anything but what Robert Matthews just described. It is not giving a full and accurate picture of what Mormons believe. Not only that, in the Mormon Times on April 25th, 2009, page 6, Christine Fredrickson wrote an article titled, "Being Truly Honest is More Than Just Don't Tell a Lie." In this piece, she said, "Silence can easily be as deceitful and sinful as lying. Avoiding a direct answer, changing the subject, carefully choosing words, and a myriad of other actions may avoid outright lying, yet cloak the truth, and you have dissembling." How is this not an example of that? This is horrible, and you wonder why people tend to not trust the Mormon Church. Why do they not trust them? Because they don't tell you the truth when it comes to a lot of their doctrines.
Well, and I don't think it'd be as bad. I mean, they're trying to do this in a short order, I understand, but they criticize in the very beginning of this whole article the journalists who aren't getting it right, but they're not helping to get them to a place where they actually can get it right.
They could have easily just put in, "Yes, we believe, according to Lorenzo Snow, as man is, God once was, is God is, man may
be
become."
Straightforward.
That would have been much more straightforward than the little piece that they put in trying to quote from Romans 8, which certainly is not saying what the Mormons think it is saying.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.